Amen. Thank you, Matt, and our worship team for leading us in worship this morning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 1 this morning, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. I think I've got most of it in your notes. Every now and then, it doesn't all make it, but I think most of it's in your notes. This is an amazing book in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul does not skirt around the issue. He doesn't tiptoe around people's feelings, and he's not worried about getting politically correct. But this book can help us understand the gospel like never before. I've entitled the sermon Restrictive Legalism and Permissive Liberalism, and that has nothing to do with politics. Hopefully you just understood that right off the bat, but it's all biblically speaking, okay? And so we're going to be looking in Galatians 1, and we're going to be dealing with several false teachings, false gospels, if you will, that Paul deals with in Galatians, and you'll see me kind of jump back and forth a little bit as well. Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of men. In other words, by no human authority, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him, Christ, from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. Paul says in verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him. Paul says, I'm amazed. I preached the gospel to you just not too long ago, and now I'm hearing that you are deserting God himself, who called you by the grace of Christ. Now, let me give you a little definition of grace. It's in your notes if you're looking at your notes. Grace is the inexhaustible goodness. This is a Tony Evans definition. Grace is the inexhaustible goodness and favor of God that cannot be deserved, earned, or repaid. Amen. And so Paul is saying, I'm amazed how quickly you're deserting God, who called you by the grace of Jesus Christ, now for a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all, only there are some who are disturbing you. And what he's talking about, when he says some, he's talking about a group of people called the Judaizers. Looks like we're cooking with gas now, Blake. Where was I? I'm joking. So right off the bat, it's obvious that the Apostle Paul is not at all happy with the Galatians. You see, when it comes to the fundamental truth of the gospel, the Apostle Paul doesn't beat around the bush. He's quick, he's firm, and he's not worried about hurting someone's feelings. And sometimes, listen to this very carefully, sometimes there's so much at stake, you can't take time to worry about feelings. Amen? In fact, sometimes you just need to yell at your kids. If your kids are in the street and a car's coming, and they don't know a car's coming, are you going to take time to figure out how to be politically correct? Or make sure you don't hurt their feelings? Are you going to yell at them, "Get out of the street, Jake and Ryan, a car's coming"? And this is how serious this is. And Paul knows it. He knows that something's coming, and he realizes that this is a matter of life and death for these churches in Galatia. In fact, he tells them in verse 6 that they are not just deserting, listen to this closely, a doctrine. They are deserting God himself when they desert grace. Now, these churches were originally visited by Paul and Barnabas during their first missionary journey to the southern part of the province of Galatia. And Paul had clearly preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to these churches, proclaiming that, and this is point number one in your notes, if you want to write this in your notes, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's a phrase you always need to remember when you're talking about the gospel. By grace alone, meaning God did something for you could never do for yourself. He did something for you could never deserve, you could never earn, and you could never repay. That's grace. That's God's grace. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the believer could be forgiven of all their sins, past, present, and future, and be set free once and for all, the Bible says, from the power of the law to condemn the lawbreaker, which is all of us. Romans 3:23. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and fall short of God's glorious standard. We're all lawbreakers. And the law spoken of here was the code of conduct given to Moses by God himself for the Israelites. And while the law of God, listen to this very carefully, while the law of God could point out an individual's sin, it had no power to free the person from the sin. In fact, it was never meant to, because in God's eternal plan, his law was always meant to direct the guilty sinner back to him. It was always meant to direct the guilty sinner back to him to receive his grace and his mercy that would come through the person and the work of his sinless Son and one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul proclaimed in Romans 8:1, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Put another way, what the law could not do, which was to free people from sin and death, Christ did through his sacrificial death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. And so through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you and I, we could be forgiven and receive eternal life. Amen? But not too long after Paul and Barnabas left the province of Galatia, the Judaizers showed up with another gospel. Look back at verses 3 through 6. Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself that we might," "evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. I am amazed that you now are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And so that begs the question this morning, what was the different message that the Judaizers were preaching? Paul says, in fact, it's not even another gospel. It's nothing more than a distortion or a twisting of the truth. One commentator writes, the Judaizers were telling the Gentile Christians, Gentile meaning not Jewish, right? The Judaizers were telling the Gentile Christians, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved, Acts 15:1. They told the Galatians that they were required to keep the law and be circumcised in order to truly receive salvation from God. But salvation cannot be earned by law keeping. It is the free gift of God through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so the Judaizers were preaching grace. You want to know who they were, what they were about? Here it is, right here. They preached grace plus works for salvation. Point number two. Number one, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Always remember that phrase. The believer can be forgiven of all their sins, past, present, and future, and be eternally set free from the power of the law to condemn them, because they put their faith in God's sinless Son, God's only Savior, Jesus Christ. And point number two, the grace of God is always free and always apart from works. The grace of God is always free and always apart from works. Paul says in Romans 3:28, for we maintain, listen to this carefully, that a man is justified by faith, by putting his faith in Jesus Christ apart from works of the law. And then in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, through your faith in Jesus Christ, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. How cool is heaven going to be? Nobody's going to brag that they've done better than you. Amen? The ground is all going to be level in heaven. Amen? Nobody's going to have to compete to beat you out or for you to beat them out anymore. Those days will be over. Those days will be done and they'll be gone with. No longer important. And again, Paul reminds the Romans in Romans 11:6, this is important. Folks, if it's by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Therefore, by definition, it's impossible to add works to grace lest you cancel out grace. But the Judaizers taught that a person must be saved by grace plus conforming to the Jewish laws, the Jewish rituals, and the Jewish customs. And they especially promoted the act of circumcision for salvation. So they rolled in after Paul and Barnabas had left with their list of do's and don'ts for these new believers to obey in order for them to be truly saved. And for the Apostle Paul, this was a very, very serious matter. In fact, listen to how he addresses the Christians in Galatia. Galatians 1:9. As we have said before, so I will say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you've already received from us, he is to be accursed. Galatians 3:1-3, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the flesh or by hearing with faith? In other words, by hearing the gospel and then believing in Jesus Christ. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, having been born again by the Holy Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? You see, once you go back to putting your faith in keeping certain parts of the law, don't miss this. Once you go back to putting your faith in keeping certain parts of the law to be okay with God, the Bible teaches that you must keep every commandment then perfectly to be okay with God. Galatians 5:3. And the law itself proved that it was impossible for a man to keep all of God's commandments period, let alone perfectly, which, by the way, is the requirement of a holy God. You must keep his commands perfectly because God is holy, which means he is completely set apart from any kind of sin. Therefore, because of his love for us, the Bible says God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, which means God with us. Matthew 1:23, he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus Christ was God with us, God in the flesh. To live a sinless life, in other words, to keep God's law perfectly, and then to sacrifice himself on the cross to set us free, the Bible says, once and for all from the slavery of sin and the penalty of death, John 3:16. In fact, Paul taught in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin being breaking God's law, breaking God's commandment, for the wages of sin is death, and that's what we earn by trying to keep the law to be saved, because we can't keep the law. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Paul warns against deserting the true gospel of grace for some lesser gospel that's really no gospel at all, he says. And he also helps us understand that while the law can't save us, it does reveal our sin and direct us to our need for God's grace, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness. And so while the gospel frees us from having to keep God's law perfectly in order to earn God's favor, his word also reminds us, listen to this very carefully, while the gospel frees us from having to keep God's law perfectly in order to earn God's favor, his word also reminds us to be very careful that we don't go to the opposite extreme of exercising our freedom to the point of willfully living in sin, all in the name of grace. In fact, Paul reminds the Galatians in Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not use this freedom that Christ paid for on the cross for you as an opportunity to live in sin, but through love serve one another. In other words, because of God's grace, you've been set free from this list of do's and don'ts that's been handed to you by the restrictive legalist. But be careful that you don't turn into a permissive liberalist who also abuses the grace of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. How do you know a legalist when you see one? How do you know a restrictive legalist when you see one? They always have a list. They'll always have a list of things that you must do and you must not do to find favor with them and to find favor with God. False gospel number one. How do you know a permissive liberalist, when you see one? They always have the same message. It's the same message every time. Obeying God doesn't matter. You're under grace, so you're free to go live any way you choose. False gospel number two. Jesus said in Luke 11:29, blessed are those who hear my word and keep it. The restrictive legalist and the permissive liberalist are both opposite sides of the same coin of those who abuse God's grace, just in different forms. Now look back at verses 6-9. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, deserting God himself who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before you, so I say it again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received from us, he is to be accursed. Point number two, the grace of God is always free and it's always apart from works. Point number three, whether it's legalism or permissiveness, altering the gospel message as revealed in Scripture is to desert the one who called you to salvation. Whether it's legalism or permissiveness, altering the gospel message as revealed in the Scriptures is to desert the one who called you to salvation. And so while the false teaching of the Judaizers was legalism, there's another group of false teachers who abuse grace and lead others to do the same. And look at what Jude had to say to them in Jude chapter 1, verse 4. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality. And they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign God and Lord. And Paul says in Galatians 1:9, as I've said before, I say it again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received from us, he is to be accursed. He is to be condemned. Bottom line, the gospel message is so important to God for the salvation of all people whom he created and sacrificed his one and only son for, that his word clearly teaches that anyone who alters it or abuses it will incur his judgment. No man, no apostle, not even an angel gets off the hook. They will all answer to God if they distort his truth and lead others to desert him. In fact, the word accursed that's used here refers to one who is devoted to destruction. Paul makes it very clear that altering the gospel in any way is terribly offensive to God because of how many lives are at stake and the reputation of Christ's church. And last but not least, verse 4 says, Christ gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. One commentator says that God's gracious provision of salvation and sanctification is based entirely on the merits of his sinless, sin-bearing Son, which means that Jesus took all of our sins upon himself when he died on the cross. He took all of our sins away. The commentator goes on to say, grace can be destroyed, but it cannot be modified. Grace can be rejected, but it cannot be changed. And Paul warns these Galatian believers in chapter 5, behold, I, Paul, say to you, listen to this very closely. Don't miss this, because the Judaizers' whole point was you have to be circumcised to be saved. Listen very closely to what Paul says to the Galatians. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify to you again, to every man who receives circumcision, that he is now under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by keeping the law, you have been severed from Christ and you have fallen from grace. Will you join me in prayer?